Welcome to the Strive for Strength podcast. I'm your host, Kendall Strample. I'm an online wealth and business coach for huge visionary coaches just like you. And I'm here to help you compartmentalize your massive ideas and turn them into a step-by-step action plan. After scaling two coaching companies to multiple seven figures by the age of 23, I want to help you collapse time and give you the steps that you need in these short episodes. So get cozy, let's dive in. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Strive for Strength podcast. Now, I don't really know how I haven't had this guest on my podcast before, considering we've like known each other for what feels like a bajillion different lifetimes. But Nick, what's up, dude? Welcome to the podcast.
What's up, man? Thanks for finally having me. I'm finally worthy.
Oh my God. Me and Nick, we have been through like the ringer. We have been through the best times. We've been through literally everything. We've known each other for like what, Nick, 7 years?
Yeah, 7, 8 years. Yep.
Insane. And like our journeys kind of like intertwine a little bit. I feel like my growth, I mean, so much of my growth was just a catalyst from meeting Nick, and Nick being the one who's like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you not living on your purpose? And a big part of what I want to get into today too is like, Nick is so good at helping people just understand like what their purpose is, living in their full purpose. I feel like your purpose has evolved so much over the past just like few years. So Nick, I don't know, do you want to tell people the story of how we met?
Well, sure. We went to the Arnold Fit Expo in, had to have been 2012 or 2013, maybe 2014.
I don't know, 7 years ago, whenever that was, 7, 8 years ago.
2014 or 2015, somewhere in that general vicinity. We were in the same Airbnb at the Fit Expo. It was a bunch of influencers. And I think the only person I really knew there was Lexi.
Yeah.
That to come with, and you were there, and I just remember that weekend just being very good, like connected with you, connected with Dez. There was that kid who snuck his way into our Airbnb because he told everybody and nobody knew.
Oh my God, I forget that.
That was crazy. Yeah, this guy messaged me and said he was friends with Kendall and all of them, and I didn't know Kendall and all of them, and he was messaging Kendall saying he was friends with me and Lexi and all of us. So this guy just like randomly got into our Airbnb of influencers. I was like, respect.
So gnarly. So
funny. But yeah, that was kind of how we started. And Kendall, I could just tell, had something in her, and she was talking about going back to school and how she hated college and wanted to do XYZ. I think you were personal training at Planet Fitness at that time.
I was, and I was also right in the middle of prep, and I was trying to prep myself, and you were like, dude, what are you doing? And this was the moment. This was like the moment where like everything changed. I remember we were in the kitchen in the morning, and I was like, oh, I don't want to go back to school. I'm like doing this whole competition thing. And you were like, dude, like, why don't you just let me prep you? And we were doing like text check-ins back and forth, and you took me on and actually did like really well my first show, which I had like negative muscle on me, but like we still slayed. Yeah. And that was just like such a massive catalyst. And at the time you were like, what, still working at your gym in Ramona, right?
I still had my gym. I was still personal training. And that was really the first time I had gotten a taste of what the online world was. It didn't even really exist to me at the time. My whole future was predicated on being at my gym still. And then I started helping you. I started helping Dez, and then you too, kind of just going through, like you said, like the text check-ins and me just telling you what to tweak and change. I was like, oh yeah, we can do this. And then people started watching your guys' progress. And then people started just randomly reaching out to me on Instagram asking if I would coach them. And I was, sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, one day I opened my eyes and went, holy shit, I got an online business here.
Yeah. You know, okay, so like, you know, when you were working in Ramona, right, and you like had the gym, because I almost kind of forget this part too, with like you exiting, like having that gym, what happened with the gym where you were like, okay, I'm going to take this whole thing online?
Well, it got to the point, and granted, I did not know how to do effective check-ins at the time. I had no systems. So check-ins would take me all day on a Sunday to respond to 10 people because I'm texting everybody full. It was brutal. But I got to this point where I was making, you know, I think I was charging $200 a month for everything. And then $150 if it was just nutrition or something like that. And I had 10 people. I was making about $1,800, I think. And I looked at that, and I had a lot of people messaging me still. And I said, oh, you know, I could really do this. And I could work with a lot more people. And I was getting really called. I liked the competition side of things. I liked going up. I liked seeing people take their physiques to an extreme. I always loved pushing people to a limit. That's always been my thing. And I couldn't really do that at my gym. I had my athletes. I had my high school, my college, a few professional athletes that I coached. They all loved me because that was my mentality. But I also had a bunch of gen pop, middle-aged people, which I loved them all, but it wasn't the same. And so I just made this decision after I got home from the Arnold and told all my clients and all my personal trainers. I said, "Hey, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm closing the gym in 30 days."
That's insane. Yeah. So wait, I have to tell people what you're doing now because, like, I think them understanding where you've been and then where you're at now, I want to talk through that evolution because, like, we talked about this before we even started rolling this. It's like you've had a bajillion ego deaths and, like, just your evolution's been insane. You're like fucking Taylor Swift, dude. You have, like, all your different era tours.
I literally make sad music when I'm sad. I'm basically Taylor Swift. I am a
T-Swifty moment. So tell people, like, where you are now, right? Like, you're working on, like, a book, you have music, you have, like, all these amazing things. So what are you working on now?
So the book is in second round of editing. I just finished my side and sent it back to them. So hopefully we'll see that published probably in Q2. I would assume. I'm still kind of ignorant about how long the process takes. So maybe that's optimistic, maybe not, but hopefully by Q2 that book will come out. Music producing was something I picked up later last year. I always felt that there was music inside of me, and I always wanted to get it out. I always was so drawn to DJing and Future Bass and just all of these music festivals that give you this euphoric feeling. And for me, I mean, as you know, I grew up very different than a lot of people, and so it's always been very hard for me to feel. It's always been very hard for me to feel my emotions, and music's really the only thing that's allowed me the ability to do so, to really process and cry and feel. And so there was just a big part of me that wanted to create that for other people as well, and that's really why I got into music.
Do you find that, like, with having music, it's like an outlet for you? Because, like, you're really logical and, like, cognitive and, like, you're in the business, you're, like, scaling this bad boy, you, like, run this incredible company with so many coaches you support. Do you feel like music has kind of been, like, a saving grace for you? And, like, even writing the book is, like, an outlet because you're such a creator. Like, you create in the business aspect, you create with, like, more the other side of your brain. How has that supported you through running the company?
I think everybody needs that creative outlet, and it's super. Business is very. It's all analytical. It's very in the head. There's not a lot of creative flow. People don't really get into their bodies anymore. And when you get so sucked up in your head and you get hypercritical and hyper analytical, that's where you start getting all these doubts, all these fears, all this chaos, all this anxiety, because there's all these different voices going on in your head that are always there. But each of those voices has a very different energetic signature that you can feel in your body if you're in your body. Most people aren't. So it's really easy to not do things like that. My embodiment, I fight. I do MMA, I do mixed martial arts. That's my thing that gets me in my body. So when I hear that voice coming up telling me, "Oh, you can't do this," or "Oh, it's going to fail," or "Nobody's going to sign up," I can feel energetically that that's a lower self that's just trying to take control. And it's really easy for me to just disregard and move forward. But if all the voices sound and feel the same, I'm going to be super chaotic. I'm not going to know which one to listen to.
So how was that? Because you have the fitness coaching company, right? And the fitness coaching company was like a massive entity. Like this thing like owned the fitness space. I feel like you and like also I even feel like FTF was a little bit of like some of the first emerging fitness coaching companies that like really crushed it in the industry. I'm curious because you weren't really doing music as much or like have as many of those outlets back then. You also just like went through a ton through like scaling the fitness coaching business. And I feel like that was a huge pillar for you to jump into conscious leadership and like what you teach now and you finding these outlets that are quite literally art for who you are in your soul. But talk to us a little bit about what it was like when you were running that fitness coaching business and like, obviously you kind of fell in almost like you fell into it and it feels like almost each era of like your life has just been like, this is what's on purpose, this is what's on purpose. Like you just keep mulling over into it. But like talk a little bit about the fitness business when you didn't have all these outlets, like how was it running that?
It was brutal. I mean, my outlets started to be things that were quick dopamine hits because I didn't really know how to regulate myself, and I really got lost in the rat race of the more I make, the more valuable I am. You know, and I've said the story a bajillion times about my toxic relationship at that point in time, but I was chasing money to be worthy of her love. I was chasing steroids and a bigger physique to be worthy of her love. I was trying to just do all of these things to be the man, buying a supercar I didn't need. But I mean, I was crushing it. I mean, we were doing millions of dollars. I had the money, and I felt like I had nothing. I felt so poor, so broke, and it consumed me. Every day I woke up, I felt heavier. I kept checking the clock. Clients would reach out. I'd get frustrated. I had no time for myself. My only outlet was going with my group of friends to music festivals and doing copious amounts of drugs 3 days straight, and then taking 2 weeks to recover. And I'm sitting there saying, God, I don't know why I'm so depressed.
Oh my God, it's so good. Just like as your friend hearing on like the other side of all of this, like you recognizing and waking up to like all the patterns and behaviors from like when you were in them and like going to music festivals. And at the time, we're like, this is so much fun. And then like, you literally can't even like have those conversations that you have when you're like on copious amounts of drugs with those people, like in a sober setting. And you're like, wait, this is so fucking surface level. Like, this is not what I want for my reality. So what was like the pivotal moment for you with this? Because like, I feel like you had many dark nights of the soul, like wake up moments, but what was
dark
like,
weeks, dark week soul is what it felt like.
You're
dark months. Yeah, you know, I think that's really to go to your question, where was that pivotal moment? I think it was when that relationship ended and I was in my backyard with a gun barrel to my head. And there was that, again, talked about this story multiple times. That was kind of how I found God and finally understood I needed to sit with myself and let everything I was running away from catch up, no matter how hard it was and challenging it was to do so. My nervous system didn't know how to sit still. It felt so terrifying because it felt like there was something always chasing me. I just didn't realize that. So when I finally sat with myself and I started unpacking all of this shit that I had been not wanting to look at and convincing myself that if I had any shit to unpack, I was lesser than as a human, I started realizing, oh, a lot of people have shit that they need to unpack. I was fucked up, but I'm not something that's broken that needs to be thrown away. I'm actually just experiencing what majority of humans experience. And that just broke open so much empathy for me. I started being able to see people in completely different ways. And I started to just have better perspectives. I started being more open-minded. I started looking at things from different lenses. And that really started to show me what I saw was wrong in the coaching space. And how it was just, it's, and currently is, but actively trying to change that. It's very just, there's a lot of scammy, unintegral, money-focused people. And on the flip side of that, I think you could make any coach sound like they fit into that mold based on the perception of a client. So there's definitely clients that I've worked with in the past that probably didn't take responsibility for themselves at all, that want to say, oh, Nick only cares about money and he preaches bullshit and that's just the world we live in. But at the end of the day, I think you can see very clearly where those default or where those faults are in the system and inside of certain coaches and inside of certain programs and how people are just really in this massive state of fear now when it comes to getting a coach. There is so much hesitation. There's so much nurturing that needs to be done just to get somebody to say yes to taking a chance on themselves because of how much bullshit is in the space now. And I saw that and it just pissed me off. It really did. And I also realized, man, I was building my whole life the way that these coaches are talking. I was just chasing as many clients as I could have. I was just chasing as much money as I could. I was just trying to scale this thing as high as possible. And I fucking did it. I did it better than what most of these business coaches are even doing in their own business coaching. I did that shit because I hated myself. And it almost cost me my life. And so I said, I got to make sure that people don't do that.
So, you know how, I mean, this is one thing I love about you so much is how much you recognize how much you've evolved and how much you like are so, every relationship you have is sacred. Like every lesson that you learn is so profound. Like you take everything out of it, which I think is so cool. And like the level of personal responsibility, like you didn't have to do that when you went through everything with your fitness business. Like you could have stayed on that path, right? And I know that you said you found God and like you found yourself also. I feel like that was a huge part of it too, which is like fucking huge, but you didn't have to. Like in that moment, you could have continued down that path. And I feel like even when you started the fitness business, this was like, this is my purpose. People are asking for me to help them. What was that pivotal moment for you to switch from the fitness business? Because I mean, you left that this huge company behind. You were like, I need to move on to my next purpose. And I feel like kind of in tandem to what you're saying, in our space, there's a lot of like shiny object syndrome where you have to have discernment around like, is this actually my purpose? Or like, have I helped myself move through a single thing and now I'm a life coach? Like there's a huge difference between having and you've evolved so much and learned so much about like levels of consciousness and far beyond what most people will expose themselves to in an entire lifetime. But like, what was the lean in for you to decide that you were the man and the person to shift into conscious leadership and helping people build their business?
You know, it's been a journey. I don't think there was, there wasn't this massive immediate shift for me. It was actually a very gradual shift over time. And to me, that's kind of how I really was able to understand, oh, this is really where I'm meant to build very big and go very hard. Because if we shift an entire reality too instantly, the nervous system can't really handle the change in stimulus like that, right? It's like you've been living in the city for all your entire life and you randomly get kidnapped and dropped into the South or the Middle East. It's like, live here. Your nervous system is going to completely go haywire because you've not experienced any of that. It's not very effective. So there was the me walking away from the fitness company. And I think the big thing with walking away from a company that I always try to tell people is walk away when it's good. Don't walk away when it's bad. And good, quote unquote, being subjective. And I would just say, walk away from the business when it's profitable. Because if I walk away from a business when it's profitable, and it was by a landslide, I know I'm walking away for the right reasons. I know I'm not just walking away because it's hard. Yeah. So I walked away, I sat and kind of realized a few projects that I had wanted to work on for a while that my partner at the time was kind of making me feel like shit about wanting to pursue. And I just started, I opened up a more of like a mentorship style thing and started working one-on-one with people. And as I was doing that in a more intimate capacity, I started realizing that there were certain steps and certain pillars that I was doing with every person, and different people were at different phases, but I could almost always map them onto one of these phases that I created. And that's where we go into those, you know, my six A's of self-mastery that I call, right? The awareness, acceptance, awakening, ascension, application, ascension, abundance, excuse me. And so I, you know, obviously I coined the names to make them a little bit more fancy, but I could just see that there's different people, and any person I worked with was in one of those stages, and those stages never stop. They're not a linear line. They're actually just a circle. So it's one big cycle. And when we reach one level of abundance, then we go right back to a new level of awareness, a new level of acceptance, a new level of awakening. And that's where, you know, like you said, I've been through multiple ego deaths, and awakening in a sense can also be seen as an ego death, where you make a massive identity shift and you let go of beliefs that you thought were concrete in your life and hills that you were going to die on. All of a sudden you walk away from them. And that's what I think really needs to be normalized, especially in any sort of entrepreneur leadership space, is people, I think people are really afraid to speak their truth in the moment because they're afraid that that might change down the road. And then people will think they're a liar, or people will think that they're always. And that's kind of how conscious evolution works, is you own your truth when you're in your truth. And my truth has the ability to change and evolve just as I do.
Yeah. It's like you almost need to be a walking contradiction for yourself. Because if you're not, at some point, you realize you're not really evolving or growing. And I think that's why so many coaches are so afraid putting disclaimers on things, because they're afraid they're going to get canceled, that they disagree. Like, I disagree with my timeline from when I was like just posting my glutes, you know, like I don't agree with that timeline anymore where I'm currently at. And it's like over time, as you evolve naturally, like you're going to have some level of contradiction. I want to go back to something you said in the beginning of this, because you said that you had a little friction with like a partner at the time who didn't quite see your vision or quite support it. And I think this is such an important topic for not just like relationships that are romantic or that are in close proximity, but just like friendships, et cetera. Like having people who don't really support you because you're such a visionary. Like, okay, guys, listening, if you don't know Nick, like something about him, like just if you want something the next day, it is. Like
It's
you're it's you're manifesting that shit. Like it's happening, right? That's what I've always loved about you is like you're such a big visionary. You cast a big vision, but like not everyone understands that. So what was it like moving through that, or not even just like with that partnership? Like I think you've had multiple iterations of partnerships that maybe didn't fully support your vision, but you know, your vision is fluid, it's gonna evolve. Like, how did you move through that and having discernment around that in your business and in your life?
So how did I move through the partner not supporting me?
Yeah, and like continuing to lead on that path because I mean, it's gotten you to such an amazing place.
Yeah, well, so I will say there definitely was a theme for me in partners that I dated. I don't think I ever once had a partner that just stopped and said, "Hey, I'm really proud of you." I don't think I've ever heard that. I don't think I've ever heard that from a partner that I've had. And so it was really interesting to kind of like finally evolve out of those level of partnerships and be able to, have the awareness I have now and look back and just, what was I energetically manipulating them to reinforce inside of me? And that's really what we do. And so I'm choosing partners that don't support me. I'm choosing partners that aren't proud of me. I'm choosing partners that make me feel like I'm unworthy. So I have this almost chip on my shoulder to build things bigger so I can finally get their approval, because that was what I taught myself was what I needed as a catalyst in order to grow my business. So my growth of business was based on I'm not enough for my woman in my life. And therefore, I had this very chaotic energy to build. It's almost like, look at me, look at me, look at me. Do you love me now? Have you approved of me now? Are you proud of me? Did I do it? Did I make you happy? And that obviously wasn't great.
I heard.
So I would just really put things under the rug if they didn't support it and thought it was stupid. And my partner at the time, I'd tell her, "Hey, I want to be a public speaker." And she'd say, "God, you just love being the center of attention. All you care about is being the center of attention." And I was very much still in need of her approval. So I said, "Shit, she must be right. Damn it, I must really need that. Okay, I'm not even gonna talk about that anymore." And so it wasn't until I got out of that relationship when I was said, "I'm single, I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna go for that." And then 2 years later, I spoke on John Maxwell's stage, which was like the biggest audience and such a full circle moment, because John Maxwell like changed my life when it came to leadership. So just seeing how see being able to see, man, I was actually using them to not believe in me. It's not that they didn't believe in me, because they did. But it's that I would energetically manipulate them so that I could feel that I wasn't fully supported in the way that I wanted to be, because that was the only way I could build.
How did you, because that's really bold, like that's really profound to even say that out loud and recognize the pattern that you had. How did you come to that conclusion? Like, how did you learn and understand that behavior pattern?
I know this is like very guru of me to say. It's actually incredibly guru of me to say, but I really do believe that you get to this certain level, and not to say that I'm at this like messiah level of healing, because I'm still very much fucked up and I do work daily. But I think you do. Okay, let me just back up 1 second here. We'll use psychedelics for an example. You do mushrooms, you unlock or you experience a new level of consciousness that you've never experienced before. Now, the brain is incredibly efficient. The second that it's taken one road before, it's already mapped that path for good. So if I experience that once with some form of psychedelic, that means that the map to that same territory is already there. So I can start getting there sober. I can start getting there in meditation. I can start getting there through breath work. I no longer need an external substance for me to reach that state. But what do most people tell themselves? "Oh, shrooms make me feel amazing. Molly makes me feel amazing. I got to take the, every time I take that, that's when I feel good. That's when I get my downloads. That's where I get all my insights." And so people go, "Oh, I really need clarity. I'm going to go take shrooms and go in the forest. That was my fucking MO for years." But realizing, man, if I actually just silence the noise, If I can just have a calm mind and a calm body, I will see everything that I need to see. I will find all my answers. I will get all the downloads that I need. And really making that my practice. And that's a key pillar of reality creation. I teach all my students, calm mind, calm body. We can choose anything we want instantaneously. But when I get that calm state and I start to, what's the word I'm looking for? I start to just curiosity, observe myself curiously. There we go.
Today.
I observe myself curiously. I can see a full perspective. Why was I in that relationship? Well, I could have easily expressed my needs. Why didn't I? Because I was getting what I wanted. Interesting. Why was I doing that? Oh, well, because when she didn't give me that, I would get upset. Okay, so why did I want to get upset? Because when I got upset, I would drown myself in work. Well, why would I drown myself in work? Because that's what I wanted to produce more money, so I was valuable. Well, where did that come from? Oh, I used to always hear my mom bitch about how my dad wasn't a good man because he didn't pay child support on time. Got it. So now I see I've had this pattern of associating men not making enough money to not being a man, not being a provider, and being a piece of shit. So I don't want to be those things. So I'm going to go all in on work, but I'm not really motivated to go in on all work. So what's my motivation? Oh, my partner doesn't love me. My partner's not proud of me. Now I got to work hard enough for me to get that praise from her.
Wow, it's kind of like the Dean Grazioni, like seven levels deeper. You just keep asking yourself, like, why this, why this, why this, you know? And it kind of brings you to that conclusion yourself, which I think takes a lot of, like, you have to be really brave to do that. I just don't think a lot of people want to slow down. And that's where, you know, I always say this is like with business, a lot of people say, when I say building a business and you can make money with ease, it's not like business is easy and like it's going to be just this la-di-da walk in the park, but it's like, you can do it from a place of being more regulated, and you're able to receive more when you just actually have a regulated nervous system, you know? And it's almost like people want this loop around of actually sitting down and doing the work because they have to work through all the things that they've been keeping down and stuffing down their whole life.
I mean, that's the backbone of my business is we do the inner work. And I'll die on the hill. A lot of people disagree with me. I say business is pretty simple. It's actually pretty easy to make $1 million. Well, what? No, I can't even get $5,000 a month. Well, have you sat with yourself? Oh, I don't have time. I'm so stressed. I've got the all right. Well, then it's gonna be hard.
Need to send 100 cold DMs. I don't
Oh,
have time.
it's going to be hard for you because you're not willing to do the hard work. And so there's like this interesting, it's like an interesting dichotomy. It's almost like a, what's, it's like a, I don't know, some word for it. It's a paradox, basically. Business is easy after you do the hard work. You don't do the hard work, business stays hard. It's really that simple. And so people go, well, I don't understand how, you know, me meditating and me doing breath work and me journaling some prompts and staring at myself in the mirror and doing these things is going to help my business. I know you don't understand that. That's why your business sucks.
Yeah.
I know you don't think that that's going to help and you're not doing it. That's why your business sucks. That's why people don't trust you because they can feel your energy off. Nobody looks at your content. Nobody looks, half of these coaches, people don't look at your physique and feel inspired. And that's such a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow, especially I know you work a lot with fitness coaches. I have a large portion of business coaches in my container as well. At the end of the day, if you're walking around even with 15, 20 pounds of body fat that you don't really need on your body, I know it sounds brutal, but it's the truth. People aren't going to be inspired to work with you. Well, why would you be walking around with 20 extra pounds of body fat? We'll joke and we'll laugh. Well, I'm bulking, I'm in my thick era. No, you're not. No, you're not. That's not a thing. You have shit that you haven't worked on, and it's causing you to not show up for yourself fully. When you love yourself, you don't carry around 20 extra pounds of body fat. You just don't. And that's really triggering for a lot of people to hold because they haven't done the work. They don't want to look at those parts of themselves. So when I hold a mirror up, they go, Nick's a piece of shit. I can't believe he said that. I'd never work with him. He said he's supposed to be kind and he's making people feel like shit. No, I'm not. You're making yourself feel like shit. I'm telling you the truth. The truth is outside of me and it's outside of you. If you have a problem with the truth, that's between you and the truth. I got nothing to do with that.
And it all comes from love too, right? And I think that's one thing a lot of people, especially coaches, need to learn to move through is like, you have a responsibility to put the mirror up in front of somebody and coach them. And I commented on your post yesterday. I thought it was so genius. Like, you can't coach somebody on a false narrative that they're continuing to tell themselves and just get into a fix it mindset. And I think that happens with a lot of coaches. It's like, when you hold the mirror up, you have to be willing to be coming from a place of love and dealing with the fact that sometimes you're going to have people project back onto you because they have wounds that they still haven't like unpacked or worked through. And I know that's something you've always been so good at, is like, you've just been like the honest friend, the honest coach, like always stood in your truth, which is like, I think everybody needs to have those kind of people in their lives. And I know you even went through like a period last year where you had to do like a whole like run through on your program and be like, hey, these clients are clients who aren't, you know, maintaining integrity. And I think it all comes down to integrity. And a lot of people, it's like, when you're out of integrity, well, of course you're not going to show up energetically in a way that people want to work with you. And it's not even the way that you look, it's the vibe. It's literally the energetic vibe that you give off, because you know you're not in integrity, so you can't speak your truth fully. And I think that's what happens for so many coaches, where they're like, why am I not generating leads? Why am I not? It's, well, dude, how do you feel about yourself? You know, it's like, how are you actually looking in the mirror every day and feeling about yourself?
Yeah, that, like, the whole, how do I get leads? I'm not getting leads. Getting leads are so hard. And you look in the industry now with all the, everyone's a fucking business coach. Like, now business coaching is the same as a girl who did a bikini show one time, placed dead last, and said, hey, I'm opening up online coaching for competitors. It's like the same thing. And there's business coaches that have never even scaled $1 million business.
Yeah.
They never even did it. And they're business coaching people. I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? That makes no fucking sense. Like, that's the craziest thing I have ever fucking heard. You should be in jail. I sincerely hope that there becomes a time where there is more regulation inside of the business coaching space, because most of these people will just poof, vanish. I'm all for it. But what I was going to say is, when it comes to generating leads, it's incredibly simple. Your content sucks. Nobody is inspired to work with you. Nobody has interest in your program because you're filtering yourself on social media. You're too worried with being liked. You're too worried about fitting into the mold of what society deems acceptable. And nowadays, we don't even know what that is. And people want to cancel me a lot. I get canceled like every Tuesday. It's like a Tuesday tea party. Let's cancel Nick again, you know? And one of my really big polarizing, I use that term very loosely, because to me, it's not polarizing, but a big polarizing belief that I stand on is that I believe the body positivity movement is bullshit. I don't believe it exists. I see people that are 300, 400, 500 pounds being praised and talking shit to women that are skinny, telling them they need to eat a cheeseburger. And so when you get somebody like me, and I understand, right, I'm like this masculine figure who's attacking women, so people go a little bananas, which is fine. But when I go on socials and say, hey, this body positivity movement is complete bullshit. You're just enabling people to hate themselves, dead ass. People go crazy. But the people who think the same way are drawn to me. Those are my people. Those people trust me because they can understand, wow, I know exactly where Nick's heart is. I know exactly where his head at. I know what he stands for. I know his mission. I know his core values. I fuck with what he talks about. That's what I'm focused on, are those people. Respectfully, I don't give a fuck if you don't like what I talk about on social media. In what world do you think that you commenting unfollowed does anything to me? But people lose their minds worried about that happening to them, and then they wonder why they don't get any business.
Yeah, it just all comes back to energetics, which I think is what's so cool about you, like taking a step into the space and like speaking your truth and consistently showing up for it. That's one thing you've always just done so well. And I'm curious to hear for you, because I mean, you, like we've said multiple times, you've been working through a lot and hold space for a lot while you've been building this business. And I think that's another part of it too, is people know when they go in to do this kind of work to be able to energetically show up, they know that there's going to be some heavy stuff that comes up for them. How's it been for you holding space through the duality of like, holy shit, I'm going through so much. I'm learning so much about myself. Probably had some really hard days, hard nights, hard weeks. And then also simultaneously showing up for your client base who are coming to you also working through a lot of things, and you have to hold space for that.
I think there's two different ways that we can go about this. I think there's one camp where there's imposter syndrome, and then there's another camp where none of that matters. So what you just said, where I'm continuously shedding layers still, I'm continuously going through a lot of ego deaths. Yesterday, I was so fucking sad. I didn't want to do anything. No reason why. Wasn't anything that I could pinpoint that was catalyst for it. I just felt super fucking sad. I wanted to cry all day. I was super lazy. I ended up making an awesome song out of it. And also, I was in my Slack nurturing my clients. I was in my Slack responding to questions that needed answered. I was still responding to all of my threads because I can be sad and also do what I need to do. So people get this one or the other mentality, and that doesn't exist. I'm sad I can't work today. I'm sad I can't go to the gym today. I'm depressed. I have to take a day off work. No, you're depressed. And also you're going to get your work done. But I can't. Of course you can't. How do you get out of bed when you're tired? You stand up. That little anomaly right there is so fascinating to me. When I get on calls with people and they say, well, what do you need to do different? And they say, I need to do this, the perfect thing that they need to do. Great. Okay, well, but how do I do that? You just wrote it down. What do you mean? Yeah, but like, how do I get myself to not do it? Like, how do I get myself to not procrastinate on doing it? And I just stare at them. And I stare at them long enough for them to realize what they just asked. It'd be like me getting in the car and I'm at a stoplight and the light turns green and everyone says, go. And I say, well, how? What do you mean go? Push the pedal down. Well, how do I push the pedal down? Pick your foot up. Well, how do I pick my foot up? What if I don't And so it's just, you put it in any other field and it's insane. You get locked up in a loony bin. But when it comes to business, it seems like the most rational thing to say. Oh, how do I keep doing this? How do I stop doing that? Just stop. Just that thing that you're doing right now. Yeah. Don't do that.
It's like people want to defend their excuses more than they want to defend their dreams sometimes, and like layer on all the reasons why it's not possible. And it's like, what if you spent the time trying to justify why it's all possible for you versus all the reasons why you can't go and do the thing?
I don't even necessarily think it's that. I think it's that people don't know how to everything in their life is overcomplicated. And it kind of goes back to what we talked about in the beginning, where you're mostly in your head, you're not in your body.
Yeah.
Second, that you have a calm mind and a calm body, you make a decision. So how do you get all this stuff done in a day? Set a fucking timer. What if the timer goes off and I'm not done with what I'm doing? Then stop and go to the next thing. Finish that thing tomorrow. This is kindergarten level execution. And because you're so dedicated to making things seem overwhelming and overcomplicated, remember that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Gosh, yeah. My childhood right there.
That most of those fifth graders would stomp out 90% of modern day entrepreneurs. Think about that. Hey, Billy, go do that real quick. Okay. You talk to one of your clients. Hey, go do this. Oh, I couldn't this week. Why? I was so stressed. I was so sad. I was so overwhelmed. I had all these things going on. Well, why did Billy get it done? Because he just did it. And he got it done super fucking quick. He's in the sandbox playing with toys. So what's the difference? It's just the willingness to execute when there's something in front of you.
Yeah, and when you think about it, it's like money is simple. Money doesn't have emotion. Like your task and your to-do list doesn't have emotion. Like it's all really simple. Humans are the ones that are complex and we try to add the layers on. It's like, imagine if you just pulled back the layers and through all of it, you enjoyed who you were becoming in the process. And I can say for myself, and I'm sure you could probably agree with this at some level, is like, it doesn't become about the money. Like it's never really about the money as an entrepreneur. Like, yes, it's great to have freedom and a lifestyle that's amazing, but it's like the more that you make, it doesn't, for me personally, it hasn't given me much of a different feeling, I would say, like my lifestyle or livelihood as I've like grown. And you kind of start to realize over time, like entrepreneurship is more about like who you become in the process to help other people become in the process.
get this, you know, I get it. When you first start off, because for those of you that don't know, I grew up in basically poverty. I was a single mom, or I wasn't a single mom. I grew up with a single mom in a trailer park. We made like 30,000, less than $30,000 a year before taxes. Like, we just didn't have a lot of money. And so when I first started making money in business and stuff, like, Kendall knows this, I am the most frugal person on the planet. On the planet, I'm so frugal. I used to, like, and like in a joking way, I used to, like, yell at my girlfriends when they would come home with name brand stuff. So I'm like, what are you talking about? The knockoff brand, or like the grocery store brand's right next to it, and it's 89 cents cheaper. Why would you buy this? And they're like,
Ben's rice. We don't need the Uncle Ben's. We need
yeah,
the oven.
they're
Okay.
like, dude, what? You know? And that's just how I grew up. That's just the part of me. And like, even now, I make a substantial amount of money. Truthfully, I could not work a day in my life ever again and maintain my current lifestyle. That's a fucking blessing. And still, none of that has changed in me. I'm not, you know, I posted about this. I don't think I posted about this on Instagram. I posted about my group. I like took profits from one of my crypto holdings I invested in a while ago, cashed out like 60 grand. I was like, I'm gonna go buy a car. Went to a dealership yesterday and was like, I don't really want to spend money on this, and walked out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so I remember I'll never forget we were at EOS like training one day and we were talking about like our money mindset and like the way you and I spend. And I remember me being like, yeah, we don't need the Uncle Ben's. And you were like, no, we need the store-bought brand, you know.
Okay.
I think and so here's the thing too, because like obviously we both really like love wealth and understanding like what true wealth means. And I think a lot of people equate wealth to like, well, you would just buy the Uncle Ben brand. And it's like, well, hold on. Like that's not necessarily exactly what I believe to be true about wealth. So I'm curious if you had to just kind of sum it up, like what does being wealthy mean to you?
I think well, true wealth is peace. I think true wealth is peace. True wealth is, and you know, again, for an example, if I go to a grocery store and all my name brand rice or my knockoff brand rice is gone and there's Uncle Ben's, I just buy it. Like, it's not like because I play a game with myself when I go to the stores, that's one of my things. I like finding things for cheaper. It's fun for me. It's like a little game. And so I do that. And all my friends make fun of me for it, right? They're like, dude, you're the only person we know that makes money that does this. And I think it's funny. They all think it's hilarious. I think it's hilarious. I love it. And, you know, again, for me, wealth is getting to a point where no matter what money you make, your life looks the same. I think that's true wealth. True wealth is I could, truthfully, somebody could hand me a check for $5 million tomorrow. I will still be the exact same person. I will still have the exact same friends. I will still behave the exact same way. I will treat nobody different. My life, nobody on the planet would know that I got a check for $5 million.
Yeah.
That's
And like money only amplifies who you are, you know, at the end of the day too. So it's like, where could you give that back? Or like, how would you just amplify the current lifestyle that you already have or like who you are and in your state of being, you know?
I
And a
think
lot of people miss.
an exercise that I have in my book that's coming out that I could give your audience that is really great. And I just do this with my students when it comes to turning yourself into that abundant person, that person who truly is wealthy. I usually have everybody write down what their ideal monthly income goal is on a piece of paper. So let's just say that that's $50,000 a month is what you want to make. So you write $50,000 at the top of the paper, you say ideal, desired monthly income. And then from there, we're going to just write below it and subtract a zero every time. So then it would go to 5,000, then it would go to 500, then 50, then five. And then so what we do is we turn the paper over and then we write it in the opposite. At the top, we write five, then 50, then 500, then 5,000, then 50,000. And what I have them write at the top of that is desired donation, desired monthly donation or contribution, however you want to say it. And so I switch their focus from how much money am I making every month to how much money am I able to give away every single month. And so then we work down the graph and say which one of those numbers is the highest that you can currently do. Maybe you can only give $50 a month right now. Awesome. So now that's your goal. Can you imagine? It's like, I want to make $50,000 a month. Cool. How much income do you think that you're at if you can give away $50,000 in a month and be okay? And that shift in perspective around money is truly what can change somebody's lives forever.
Insane. That's such a good exercise. I can't wait to see the book when it fully comes out. Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of the times in entrepreneurship, and you see it happen more and more in the space nowadays, people getting into it to be like, okay, how much can I make? Like, what is this going to do for me? And it's like the more that
Right.
you focus on what it's going to do for everybody else and who you're going to become. Because I think like there is a selfish aspect to entrepreneurship of like you are going to become a whole different person. And like there's something really profound about that and something really awesome about it. But it's like leaning into that more. It's like how much more would you get out of life and how much more fulfilled would you be? So.
Entrepreneurship is one of, if not the most spiritual path I think somebody can take when it comes to ego deaths and everything that you need to tap into, which is why it is just perplexing to me that so many entrepreneurs won't do the work. Big part of what I do. That's why I integrate that, the spirituality, the leadership, the healing. Because it is, it's a massive reflection of who you are. Your business is a reflection of you. Money is a reflection of the internal state that you have inside of you. Your relationship with money more than likely is the same relationship you have with intimate partners. Think about it. Most people are anxiously attached to their partner. When their partner leaves and it's not home and they don't hear from them, they start stressing out. They're with somebody else. Are they ever going to come back? Am I enough? Am I worthy? Well, what happens when money's not around? Is it ever going to come back? Is it going to, am I worthy of it? Was it going to somebody else? Whenever your partner walks back in the door, everything's good to go. You're happy, you're secure, you're stable, you feel like you're good in the relationship. And then what happens? Oh, he leaves again. Crap, I'm stressed again. I don't know. Anything could happen. So when money comes in, we feel secure. When money goes out, we feel stressed. We have an anxious attachment to money, which is why it evades us.
So good. If you guys don't already follow Nick, Nick is iconic. It's not Nico Medina, by the way. It's Nick Comedina, just to
Nick,
clarify, since people still ask
well,
this
remember that.
on a regular basis. But guys, go give Nick a follow. Seriously, like he's changing the entire scope of our space, which I'm so proud of you for. Even just listening to this, I'm like so emo. But Nick, I love you, dude. Thanks for coming on the podcast. Let everyone know where they can find you. I know you have your own podcast too, but what's the best place to find you?
I do. I say I'm the most active on Instagram. It's just my first and last name together. YouTube and TikTok. I'm Nick Comodina underscore official. Don't know why. It's just what my content team wanted to do. And then my podcast is called Headstrong. It's on Spotify and Apple.
Beautiful. Nick, thanks for coming on. Love you.
I love you too.